When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't start going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
And give us a 5-minute break.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish.
The podcast where the early bear gets the twink.
Oh, there are no twinks here. I see zero twinks, Kyle. Where are they hiding?
come out wherever you are.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz.
And we're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today...
Today we're going to talk about...
You shut your whore mouth. It's a live show tradition that we don't reveal the topic until right after the news for no explicable reason whatsoever. Hello, Houston. Hi. A big Texas welcome. Appreciate that. Appreciate the hell out of you. A big thanks to Kiki for hosting us today and putting up with our bullshit. Be sure to treat the bartenders well and treat each other well. Let's all.
Oh,
I know.
That's beautiful.
It's not. How's your Houston experience, Kyle?
Well, it's been great. I'm from here, so coming back home.
You're not really from here. You're from Katy.
I'm from Katy, but. Did I hear one boo? Katy's pretty cool, except for all the book bans it's trying to do. On the heels of. It trying to ban all of the LGBT written and black written books. Katy just had their first Pride.
Yeah. Katy Pride.
Yeah. It's amazing. I didn't go. I just know of it.
You assume it was okay.
Yeah. It was probably great. Pride usually is.
I Tex-Mexed for the first time.
Yeah.
We went to dinner with your brother last night and, I still don't get it. Like, You bitch all the time about how, like, okay, calm down.
This is our Yoko Ono.
Right.
This is what ruins us.
You've always bitched that none of the Tex-Mex, any of the places that we go, is really Tex-Mex. So then I, like, hyped up in my mind we were going to go have this, like, real authentic Tex-Mex situation, which you validated that it was Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
But I don't know how it was different. Like, what... It was just better?
This isn't great for the podcast, but I have nothing to say to you.
Okay, great.
Tex-Mex is amazing, and every time I come back, I have Tex-Mex, like, once a day.
I just feel like it's the dildo system for the bars. It's opaque to me what your evaluation process is.
It's delicious, and nowhere has good Tex-Mex unless you come back to Texas.
Except Houston. Okay, great.
I did have a great experience flying out of Seattle because I apparently have great dick and ass because I got felt up by the TSA agent.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah, they had me turn around and look at the like little monitor and they were like, just to confirm that like right around my crotch and my ass was the spots where it was like, we have to feel that those, right? They called in a supervisor to watch to make sure there was a third.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And then he just felt me up right there.
It was on, like, OnlyFans.
It was a fun little how do you do to send me off. Yeah. How's your Houston experience been?
Great. Yeah, great. I enjoy Houston. We went here and then we went to dinner with your brother. And then I went and saw Go-Go Boys at Tony's Corner Pocket. Man, that place is an experience. It's a journey, and it was all just for one go-go boy. Every 2 years, I go see Alexis and his giant dick, and it was fun.
How is Alexis?
He's great, still beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah. So I met a couple of listeners. Well, a listener and his twin brother Ulrico over there, and we were hanging out at the table just watching the goings on, and they started speaking Spanish with one of the go-go boys, and I could tell that they were talking about me but didn't know what they were saying because don't speak Spanish. And the next thing I know, the go-go boy just like zips away and they're like, he's going to go get Alexis for you. I didn't know I had that kind of power, but
yeah.
Okay.
Did you walk in and say, fetch my boy?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. No, it was super fun.
Okay.
And I'm a functioning human today, so
yeah, you know, are.
I didn't go as hard as I usually do.
Okay, that's good. You need to put on a show today.
Yeah. Speaking of which, how many of you have heard the show before? Round of applause.
Great, great.
Excellent. And how many of you are gayish virgins? Don't be shy. I know there's at least two of you. All right.
You have to clap when it's an audio show. This does get published later as an audio format show.
And then a round of applause. How many of y'all are queer on the LGBT spectrum somewhere? Congratulations.
You've done it.
Round of applause, straight people? We have straight people? I know there's at least two. Okay, fine.
All right. All right. I saw a couple hands go up. So.
Well, for the gayish virgins in the room, this is a very not safe for work show. So if you don't want to hear us talk about potentially dirty things, then, you know, the doors that way. The show is about gay stereotypes. We talk about one a week. We've only missed a few weeks in the last 6.5 years. This will be episode 356. Please take as many selfies and videos as you can and tag them at Gayish Podcast. It's the only thing we pay Derek to do other than sit here and look pretty, so he could definitely use the work. Speaking of Derek, it was his birthday on Friday, so we're not going to sing, but on the count of three, we're going to say happy birthday, Derek. 1, 2, 3.
Happy birthday, Derek.
You came to Texas for your birthday, so that's on you. But good time, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great. Okay. Let's see. Oh, and then at the end of every episode, we do our gayest and straightest, which is the stereotypically gayest and stereotypically straightest thing about us for the week. We would love to hear yours at live shows. We always take a handful of you. And if you come up and say yours on the mic, you can go home with one of these lovely mugs. Great. Did I do all the things?
I think you did all the things.
Okay. Okay. A couple of corrections. You're going to do a big eye roll, but alert listener and person who came out of the same woman as me, my brother Marty called in to remind me that I said, when talking about Jeeps on the Jeep episode, I said PJ Ermey was the dude on the show that did the thing, and it's not. His name was R. Lee Ermey. The reason I said PJ, though, is because I went to high school with her, and that dude is actually, he lived in Zilla in my hometown for a while, and I just totally, totally forgot that. So that guy, the drill instructor guy, you know who I'm talking about? Yeah.
I'm glad some of you know what Mike is talking about right now.
Anyway, yeah, his name is R. Lee Ermey. PJ was a girl I went to school with, but she's related to him somehow. Anyway, yeah, that's it.
Great. Any more pedanticism we need to get out of the way?
Yes. On the last episode, I said that Moab was a national park. It's not, but it's near a couple. Great.
So you were close.
I was close.
You were in the ballpark. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. We haven't bantered enough.
Oh,
we're going to talk about Glue Weekend. So this is the weekend before the Glue Weekend. Round of applause if you know what Glue Weekend is. There's a big poster over there. And of course there's the notice up here with the QR code. Glue Weekend is Houston's premier fetish weekend. It's a whole bunch of events. You can go to glueweekend.com to get the full rundown. And they just let us know backstage that if you go to glueweekend.com and use the code GAYISH, you can get 20% off your tickets if you're here today. So if you want to check out Glue Weekend, you can get a little discount just for being here and being nice to us.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're hearing this later, when this episode comes out, you missed it. Yeah. Sorry. That's your fault, not mine.
And now the news.
Now the news.
Shut your mouth hole. It's time for your ear holes. News, news, news.
News the first.
Okay.
Great. Okay, so I just 2 weeks ago, I think, said that Dianne Feinstein died, Senator Dianne Feinstein, and she has a big history in San Francisco. But her replacement, temporary replacement, has been appointed by Governor Gavin Newsom, and her name is LaFonza Butler, and she is the first Black queer senator.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's only the third Black woman to serve in the U.S. Senate, following in the footsteps of Carol Mosley Braun of Illinois and Vice President Kamala Harris of California. But she's also the first out queer Black woman to serve in Congress. She's 44 years old. And yeah, she and her wife are very aware of sort of the gravity of the history that's happening. She said, quote, "I've had many experiences and hold many identities, and I've done a lot of work in all these areas. All of those things have helped to shape how I show up in the world. Knowing that I am a Black queer woman who comes from the labor movement, who has dedicated her life to economic empowerment for workers and for women, and being a fighter for our fundamental freedoms." She is a certified badass, for what it's worth. And I really very much hope that she decides to run, because the appointment is only good for the rest of Senator Feinstein's term, and then there's an election. But I very much hope that she decides to stick around, because she seems fucking cool.
That seems amazing and important, and it's hard for me not to look past you at my giant fucking head.
Right.
I'm trying really hard to pay attention to you and this amazing thing that is happening, but also my big dumb head is right up there.
I was concerned that these were going to be life size. They're bigger than life size. Like, sweet Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that sounds important.
Yeah, it's important.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so thanks Senator Butler, and I expect great things.
Yeah.
Let's see, news the second. I struggled with whether to do this, especially at a live show that's supposed to be all fun and lighthearted.
Ooh.
But you know, we've said sometimes gay people can do the wrong thing too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a college student in New Hampshire who called in and threatened to kill Republican Representative Matt Gaetz in a voicemail this year.
Ooh.
And he has pleaded guilty in federal court. So Alan Poller, who's 24 years old, admitted to investigators that he left the voicemail in the early morning hours of March 29th following a night of drinking and watching TikTok.
that TikTok.
I mean, sometimes it'll rile you up, you know?
Yeah.
The DOJ announced in a statement that the freshman student athlete pleaded guilty to a single count of transmitting in interstate commerce a threat to injure the person of another, which that's a
legal.
That's a title.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the member of the track and field team at Keene State College in Keene and was arrested April 3rd. Okay.
What?
It's just, okay. The voicemail was, quote, "Hi. My name is Alan Poller."
Oh, no.
A-L-L-A-N-P-O-L-L-E-R.
No.
Phone number.
Oh, no.
And says his phone number. "And I just want you to let you know, Representative Matt Gaetz, if you keep on coming for the gays, we're going to strike back, and I guarantee you, you do not want to fuck with us. We will kill you if that's what it takes. I will take a bullet to your fucking head if you fuck with my rights anymore. And then if you want to keep going down that path, you know who's next." So, okay.
I'm so close to being on board with this voicemail. But it just passed the line.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So we're all mad. We're all going through a lot. We're understandably upset, and sometimes I fantasize about potentially harming certain people. Don't say that part out loud.
There are parts you keep in your head, and this is one of those.
And don't spell your name on a voicemail. Yeah. Yeah. Just don't do that.
Yeah.
And then news the last. I love this. So Mike Pence, former Vice President Mike Pence, this is where you boo.
Yeah. Great.
So he was registering for the New Hampshire Republican presidential primary vote on Friday. He spoke to a group of reporters and he got heckled. And the heckler said, "Mike Pence, are you going to tell them? You promised today was our coming out day. Mike Pence and I are gay." I love that. And then he said, "I admit it, your John Deere is bigger than mine." I don't know what that means.
But you kind of do.
I assume it's a penis thing. Yeah. I'm not going to refer to my dick as a John Deere, though. Anyway, he got heckled, and he handled it pretty okay. But I just, the idea that like his gay lover would show up to an event and proclaim their gayness to the world makes me very happy.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Well, that's the news.
That's the news. Well, I want to just for a second thank Patreon for making this tour possible. This is our last stop on our tour.
Yeah, it is.
So thank you so much to anyone. Is there anyone who's a Patreon member in here? Oh, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
Spell coming.
And thank you for your money.
And thank you for your money, most of all. We have happy hour on November 1st at 6 p.m. Pacific for anyone who's a Patreon member. So if you're not a Patreon member, feel free to sign up just for 1 month so you can hang out with us.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Do it. Yeah, I know. It snuck up on me, too.
No, I just realized I don't have my sign ready to go.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want me to tap dance?
Yes.
What are we doing? Yeah? Okay. Great. We did it.
Are we ready to reveal what the topic is?
I suppose so. I'm a little nervous. Are you ready for the topic, everybody?
Yeah!
Okay, great. Yeah, so Family Feud style, we're going to count to three. Kyle's going to show you the sign, and then you're going to yell whatever is on the sign. Clear as mud? Yeah. Great. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. I just ripped my shirt open. And Kyle's putting his vest on. Great. I'm very uncomfortable. Okay.
To the listening audience, Mike tore his Pearl Snap shirt open and he's wearing a harness underneath. How's that harness feel?
It's been pinching me a lot because I don't wear it very often. And I certainly don't wear a shirt over it. So I'll get through it.
Heart.
Uh-huh.
You have some more
we'll get
to
there.
Drink.
We'll get there. So we are going to have a guest on. We have Woodja Flanagan with us. He's going to come up and talk to us about a whole bunch of leather stuff, and we're going to do a show and tell portion.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. But first,
we've got a few things to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. So first, I'm going to tell you about a couple leather Urban Dictionary definitions.
Fuck yes.
Okay, so there is the definition leathered. Have you heard that?
Leathered?
Yeah, which means drunk or intoxicated.
Oh, I was thinking like that leathered old queen at the end of the bar needs to stop hitting on the twinks.
Okay, there's apparently a term leatherback, which they defined as a sun-kissed cougar.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's sort of what I was saying.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, yeah.
The direction
that's
I was headed.
Yeah, yeah.
It's also a kind of turtle, isn't it?
Oh, maybe kind of snake? I don't know. There is the soft leather belt that hangs down in front of a man's pants or zippers, usually 3 to 6 inches of excess belt, usually due to either the man's laziness or cheapness to buy a correct-fitting belt. That is called a leather dick.
A leather dick. Okay, I get that.
Yeah, yeah, right? The best definition that I've read on Urban Dictionary to date... A leather Cheerio, which is an anus.
Oh, sure it is. Yeah. If you're doing it right, anyway.
Yep, yep. And then they defined Leatherman, which we'll talk more about this, of course. Leatherman, the stereotypical gay male icon, one who dresses in leather, commonly chaps with no pants, and biker-style facial hair.
Great.
It's a really specific kind of leather man that they have in mind, which
yeah.
I think there are broader varieties of leathermen than that, but that's what Urban Dictionary thinks is a leather man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they also have leather daddy, which is another word for dominator, according to Urban Dictionary, which, again, there might be conflating some things. We'll ask Woodja when he comes up.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I wouldn't necessarily think that a leather daddy is super dom, but maybe... I don't know. That's interesting.
I think you can be dumb. I don't think you have to be.
Right, 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 right. Yeah. Maybe you do.
Maybe you do. We'll find out more.
We'll find out.
That's why we're doing this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I got.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about the history of leather. But I mean the material. So until we started doing this, the concept for the show, I really thought that leather just meant like, you're into like literal leather, like the material.
Right.
And there's some of that's true, but we've been making leather. Humans have been doing that for like 7,000 years. China and India are the leading producers and exporters of leather today. But I didn't realize how fucking complicated making leather is. Like in my head, conceptually, it's just like you kill a cow, take its skin off, you get leather.
Yeah, and yeah, that's what I have in mind.
there's a whole process. So tanning is the thing that stabilizes it, and it really makes it. Once you've tanned it, then you can do a whole bunch of other stuff with it. But the color tan comes from the term tanning because that's the color that. Hello,
My cab is here. Gotta okay, go great. By. Okay, bye.
So you tan it, and then because if you don't, then it'll get like nasty. It'll like when you get it wet, especially, it'll putrefy, which is gross as hell. And there's lots of different processes for it, and you can make leather basically out of almost anything, cows or goats or even like ostriches or alligators. But the process is more or less the same. And but there's like some vocab words that I learned about the leather making process that sort of like, I don't know. I'm interested to see if we play a little game of, do you know what they're doing? What do you think this is them doing to the leather?
Okay.
You with me?
Yeah.
Okay, how about...
This is Make Kyle Feel Dumb section.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
That's like half the fun of the show for me, I think. currying. Do you know what currying is?
Making a delicious Indian dish.
I would think so, too. It's rubbing it with oil, which helps replenish the oils that are lost, natural oils that are lost out of it through the process, and then it also makes it more waterproof. How about baiting?
When you...
Spelled B-A-T-I-N-G.
I mean, when you use 10-year-old pictures to hook up with some dude.
Right. Yes, 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 yes. No, that's baiting, B-A-I-T-I-N-G.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I think this is when you jerk off on the leather, right? Like, it's baiting.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Like
chatterbaiting, baiting. No, but it's when you put pigeon excrement on the leather.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
And it makes it soft and supple. It's been replaced in modern leather making processes with other chemicals that do it better and don't come out of a pigeon's ass. but yeah, that's like a legit part of how you made leather back in the day.
Huh.
Deliming?
Removing the lime. I got nothing.
That's mostly right.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
Lime, not like the fruit, but lime like the chemical is a part of the process. And it's very basic, not like you know, basic bitch pumpkin spice latte, but like, you know, base as a, yeah. Unlike acid. So you put it in a pit or a vat of acid, and that gets that alkaline out of it, and de-swells the fibers. And then the last one is puering.
Ooh, that's when you poof it up at the end, so it looks fancy and nice.
There's a whole bunch of finishing techniques that do that. None of them are called this. This is putting dog poop on it to
what?
Also make it soft and supple.
No,
it's apparently like there's magic in poop that we didn't even know. You have to use the right poop for the right part of the process.
I've always said that.
Yeah,
you gotta use the right poop.
So okay, so now let's actually talk about like leather. The concept, like the subculture.
Yeah.
So most people say that the leather culture came out of the 1940s, and
earlier than I would have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. When would you have thought?
I don't know. Like, I don't. After that.
Well, I think a lot of people. I think a lot of people associate it, at least people my age, associate it with the village people.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you were talking earlier about like the leather man, that dude from the village people is sort of what pops in my head first.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, that's true. But it definitely comes out of the 1940s. And so men were coming back from World War II and then had a sort of... backlash to mainstream culture and conformity. And we see a lot of gay stuff actually start to pop up all over the country in World War II. And leather culture did too. The roots are in that. But then there was this, they called it a riot. It really wasn't a riot, but the Hollister riot. And I don't know what it has to do with the clothing brand, but there was an event that occurred at the American Motorcyclist Association Gypsy Tour Motorcycle Rally in Hollister, California. It was July 3rd to 6th, 1947. And it made national news. People were like really upset and covering, you know, these drunken motorcyclists took over our town and there was pandemonium. And there was a picture that went viral, or the 1940s version of viral, of a drunk guy sitting on a motorcycle It was probably staged by the photographer to make it look worse than it actually was. Oh. But now all of a sudden there was this motorcycle driving, leather coat and pants and hat wearing dude causing mayhem. And you combine that with this sort of like counterculture. We want to do something that is less mainstream post-World War II. And people really picked up on it. It became like this cultural phenomenon, not just among gay people, but like the whole culture started keying into it. So much so that there was a movie based at least loosely, if not explicitly, I forget, on that riot. The 1953 film The Wild One, which starred Marlon Brando, and in it he wore jeans, a t-shirt, a leather jacket, a meerkat, and the movie really put out into like the public consciousness he was hot. Do you know that back in the day Marlon Brando was fucking hot?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Sweet Jesus.
It's like you get uncomfortable looking at old pictures of Joe Biden. You're like, oh no, I didn't want this.
Yeah,
yeah,
mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in that movie, he wore all of this leather stuff or stuff that was part of that persona, and it really took off. So again, that was 1953, and then motorcycle culture started to sort of just really, really become a thing. And I thought this was really interesting. So one author said that motorcycle culture also reflected some men's dissatisfaction, gay men's dissatisfaction with other kinds of gay culture, that gays typically were revolving around high culture, pop culture, especially musical theater or camp. And the leather community that came out of motorcycle clubs was like an alternative, a masculine alternative. And I just think that's really, really interesting, this idea of like, it's like our show, right? We talk about stereotypes and that there's no wrong way to be gay. Like, here was another option that wasn't like all the other kinds of gays that they saw.
Yeah, I could see people being frustrated. That's what we talk about, like not feeling like you fit in if you don't have all the exact same interests as other gays, and trying to find a different avenue to express that.
Yep.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. So the first gay leather bar in the United States was called the Gold Coast, and it opened in Chicago in 1958. Yet another example of no, Stonewall wasn't the beginning, right? That's 11 years before Stonewall. And so that's largely all of that really was grounded in the material of leather. But then since then, it's picked up a whole bunch of other stuff, such that leather is now more an umbrella term for a whole bunch of things. Leather is a component of that, but there's a lot of kink and fetish stuff that now is sort of wrapped up into the broader idea of leather and leather culture. One author said, as a culture, leather has distinctly articulated practices. These include physical acts like fisting, whipping, rope bondage, suspension in the air, piercing, play with electricity, abrasion, heat, cold, and sensory deprivation. These practices are used in play between leather people in individual or group contexts, transferred during educational classes and mentoring relationships, and performed as art. These practices may be deeply sexual or completely absent of sexual charge. There is no firm boundary. Some people orgasm from being punched in the balls. Ace lesbians can platonically tie up gay men.
Wow, that's such a range.
Right? Yeah.
Have you ever punched a dude in the balls?
Okay. For sex purposes?
Well, yes, yes. Not just fuck you.
There was this dude that was like, I'm not going to come unless you squeeze my balls. Mm. And I was like, okay. And then squeezed them. And he's like, no, squeeze them.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, okay, this is what we got to do. And then he's like, no, that's not enough. Punch them. So I'm like, his dick is in my mouth and I'm holding his balls, squeezing as hard as I can, and that's not enough. So then I'm like, also trying to punch them. It was like, it was a lot.
It's like a punching bag. Yeah.
And I like mine, you know, messed around with, but do not punch them.
Don't punch my boss. Please. For everyone.
I'll end with this quote from another author. Leather is more than simply a kink. For many, leather is the language in which they are gay. It supports, structures, and enriches their queer sex, love, and family. The public deployment of leather clothing, gear, and practices can be an expression of personal and cultural identity.
Wow.
Great. Okay. Yeah.
Leather is the language that some people are gay. That's really powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Should I tell you about some research?
God, I hope you're going to.
Oftentimes gay men are treated as just one group, especially in research studies. They're just like gay men. And then that's the extent to which. So I really liked this because it took the leather community specifically and researched them as a specific group. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to do a lot of times. Pick any topic and you look for GATA, it's going to talk about the HIV prevalence and sexual practices of that group. And I just hate that that's the only thing that comes up. That research is really important, but also not what I want to talk about. So instead, I'm going to talk about...
Before you move on from that, there's for sure a generational thing going on there, though, right? Like, I imagine, like, HIV/AIDS to me is way bigger in my consciousness than I think it is for you, and especially for people that are in their 20s. It's just, it's changed. But I also imagine that so many people doing studies are my age or older, and like that is the lens through which they perceive the world. And so you're right, it's unfortunate, but I also think it makes sense.
It does make sense. I think it's unfortunate when that's the lens through which you perceive gay people completely. Mm. You know, the fact that those are often the only studies that can be found.
Yeah.
So that's the frustrating part. So I instead took a look at a qualitative research paper called Layers of Leather, the identity formation of leathermen as a process of transforming meanings of masculinity.
Layers of Leather in Houston just sounds sweaty.
This is by Chad D. Mosher, Heidi M. Levitt, and Eric Mulnley. All the authors are LGBT, which is always nice, doing a study about gay people. It came out in 2008 in the Journal of Homosexuality. So they interviewed 6 leathermen ages 28 to 61 in Memphis, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Although many members had experiences in lots of different cities outside of that. But this is, of course, a small subset of people that they interviewed. And I wanted to share the themes that they came away with.
With Memphis, talking about Memphis, that's where Elvis is from.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he purposely made himself look like Marlon Brando for the Jailhouse Rock movie. And that's another thing that, like, I guess made leather a thing in our brains.
Oh, no way.
But go ahead.
First is finding a partner was seen as easier for leathermen because compared to just as a regular gay man, because leathermen are more likely to be upfront about their sexuality.
Mm.
Someone said, quote, role-playing allowed participants to meet other leathermen who shared compatible sexual interests, to discuss those interests, and eventually to find sexual partners. And it also facilitated conversations with non-leathermen because it was a talking point, something easy, an easy introduction that you could give. There's also apparently marginalization from both communities, from both heterosexual people and from within the gay community, which is unfortunate, but it also leads to, it said, freedom from conventions.
Yeah.
One interviewee said, gay leathermen have always been known to be kind of buck the tradition, that we don't fit the mold. A lot of people don't want us in gay pride and don't want us to be visible, so we are not bound by any conventions at all except our own.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and that's interesting because there's the whole kink at Pride. Does kink belong at Pride thing, which we've talked about it a couple of times. For whatever reason, it came up really big in the discussion around, like, 2019, 2020. Like, there was a bunch of memes about, like, does kink belong at Pride or whatever. And so now I think it's complicated. Like, when I thought leather was just, like, the material, I was like, who fucking cares what you wear to Pride?
Yeah.
But now that I know that there's, like, more to it, there's, like kink aspects to it, it's hard. It's an ongoing conversation, I think, about, like, what is the purpose of Pride and who belongs and in what way, and what is it okay to be public with versus, like, needs to be in a more private setting. It's just, it gets messy.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, for sure. But I think Leatherman, that's an easy one to, like, leather belongs at Pride for sure.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
I think that's really easy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a place to find personal validation and acceptance. Being part of the leather community helps provide that.
Mm-hmm.
It establishes a community that you can trust and confide in. Often people talked about traveling to other cities and being embraced by other leather communities, even though they didn't know them. It reminded me a lot, actually, of your fraternity.
Yeah.
Just like you can travel to another place, and because you're fraternity brothers, you have this instant kind of bond and community.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a lot about the leather community that reminds me of the fraternity. We were talking to Woodjit last night, and we'll bring that up again, I think, of like a bunch of like rituals and like symbolism and ways of identifying each other. Like it's
and you
wild.
All fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, of course.
Don't correct me when I imagine every frat guy fucks each other. Anywho, the sexual roles allow people to explore different aspects of themselves.
Sure.
So you don't have to just be one role all the time. You can be different roles with different people. So it allows you to explore different sides of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Every single person made reference to masculinity.
Yeah.
Specifically challenges the assumption people make of gay men, which is what you described in the history part of people intentionally wanting to challenge what it means to be a gay man.
Yeah.
And what masculinity means too, because a lot of people think that being gay and masculinity are at odds.
Yep.
And so leathermen are a really interesting combination of both.
Yep. Yep. Well, and almost like I don't want to say over, but like a correction. Like I guess overcorrection is what I mean. Like you look at Tom of Finland and all of those cartoons, and that's hyper masculinity, right?
Yeah.
That's like
yeah.
every aspect of it is just done to the extreme, and it seems like that's in response to not all gays are femmy bottoms. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, but it can that. I think the way you described it sounded like it was doing it in a bad, like there's, you can be doing it in a good, healthy, positive way.
Right. Yeah. It just, it, like a call and response kind of thing. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lastly, apparently, they all described having two comings outs. That's, it's like attorneys general. two coming outs. Once as a gay man and once as a leather man. The average age of coming out as a gay man was 24, and the average age of coming out as a leather man was 32.
Whoa.
So,
Daddy.
One of the implications that it said in the research is that sexual identity development does not end with your initial coming out process. And that was one of those that I was like, you know, fucking shit. Like, did you need the research study to tell you that? But I guess that was new information for them that you continue to coming out doesn't just that now this is where I stop and this is where I end and now I've done it and I'm here.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing process even after that.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. That's why every coming out day, which is October 11th, it was last week, I make a point of coming out because it's an ongoing process all the time.
Yep.
Every new person that I meet, I'm like, oh, God, do I come out? This? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm starting a new job and I have to decide, like, I
Kyle got a job, everybody.
Yeah. one where you go to work.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to, I wrote gay stuff on my resume, so they already know, or at least they can figure out, but like for the rest of the teammates, I have to do this whole thing where I have to decide.
Do they know about us? And that there's an episode about fisting.
They know that I do this, and I don't know that they looked at the episode list, and I hope that they don't look at it until I start so that they can't take it back.
Right. Yeah. Just got to get to Tuesday.
I start on Tuesday. Yeah, that's what the research says.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Mike.
You know.
Yeah.
How are we doing?
Yeah, good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
You enjoying this?
Yeah, I'm having a good time. Are you having a good time?
So far.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We will see how it goes, though.
Okay, good. Are we ready for Woodja and somebody who actually knows what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. So we're going to invite Woodja Flanagan onto the stage. Come on up, Woodja.
Okay, so Woodja Flanagan, you are Mr. Prime Choice 2009. Mr. Lone Star 21, lifetime member of the Misfits Houston, former president, and a member of the American Psychological Association.
Yes.
And the... I don't see another bullet point, so I'm going to assume that this it's all related. The APA has a task force on BDSM?
They just formed a task force on BDSM.
Okay, this is no longer about leather. Tell me about that. What's going on?
Well, okay, so BDSM is, I'd say it's a loose umbrella term. Mm-hmm. So what the acronym stands for is bondage and discipline, dominance, submission, sadomasochism. Mm-hmm. And you can't really say like task force on leather because that is too limiting. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who do kink that don't do leather so much, and leather does tend to really speak more to the gay experience than the straight experience. So even within the straight BDSM community, when they use the term leather, they're usually talking about gay men.
So you're a therapist?
I'm a psychotherapist, psychologist.
And you work with clients that are members of this community, right?
Right. So probably about a third to a half, depending on the week, of my clients are either BDSM or in consensual non-monogamy.
And mostly queer people?
Probably about half queer. Okay. I see a fair bit of straight BDSMers as well.
Okay. So let's talk about, where are you from? Where'd you grow up? Are you from?
I grew up in the Northeast.
Okay.
Different places in New York, Connecticut, went to high school in Maryland, lived in Washington, D.C. for a number of years, moved to Houston while in graduate school for my pre-doctoral internship mm-hmm. at the University of Houston, and stuck around.
Great. Okay.
And so tell us how you got into leather.
Well, I think like a lot of guys, I got into leather because I thought it looked hot. still think it looks hot. And as I got into it more and learned more, really more about the DS part, I found out that I like the DS part. I identify more as Dom. and I still like that part. SM, for me, I'm more the DS than the SM. Bondage and discipline is fun too. There are cuffs on the four corners of my bed in case, you know, anyone needs them.
Great.
And it's a great community to be a part of. And so once I got part of it, it just, you know, wanted to stick around, and it was where I felt like I belonged.
How did you feel about the definition that Urban Dictionary has of leather daddy, another word for dominator? Are those the same thing?
No, I don't think so at all, actually. So for me, there's really three terms for a dom. Master, sir, and daddy. So a master is usually a hardcore dominant, usually have more experience and more wisdom. They've been in the community for a while before you typically get the term master applied to you. Sir is more... a more general term for a dom. A young person or a new person to the community could be a sir. It's just that if they identify as dom, then they get the title sir. We usually apply those titles to ourselves often. Daddy is a particular type of dom that is usually try to be very nurturing often, but not always, goes for a younger guy, but they're less, I guess, harsh. Probably less sadistic usually, but daddy can go sort of two ways. One is the disciplined daddy, and so those are the guys that are sort of expecting you to need to be punished. Mm-hmm. And then there's the sort of softer daddy, like a soft top daddy. I identify as a soft top daddy, where I want to nurture, but I also want you to be compliant. I really don't want you to be bratty. If you are bratty, I'll punish you, but really I just want you to do what I want you to do. Take my wisdom, take my guidance, be a good boy.
Take it.
Okay. Okay. Is that a place that you landed? When did you like have this realization?
I think I was in my 30s when I realized I was a daddy. Uh-huh. Really had the daddy orientation. I had been interested in leather probably since I was 18, saw Tom of Finland and thought, well, that's fucking hot. But was afraid to be a part of the leather community because I doubted I was masculine enough or big enough, strong enough, whatever. No, I wasn't manly enough to be a member of the community until I sort of, so I in my mid-20s, I started to sort of be on the periphery, would go to the DC Eagle occasionally and just go stand and stare, afraid to talk to anyone. And then sort of, I guess, around 30 is when I was like, yeah, okay, this is where I need to start playing.
Okay. So. Yeah. All right. So I want to ask, you have a bunch of titles. And the thing that I wonder about, though, is like, how do you be good at this? Like what are the qualifications? How do you know, like, there's an award-winning leather daddy, right? Like, how does that work?
Really, all the titles are different in terms of how you earn them or what they mean. So Mr. Prime Choice is probably the title of them that I'm the proudest of. Mm-hmm. Because that was a title that, in order to earn that title, first of all, I don't know if it's the case anymore for the Prime Choice title, but when I earned it, there was a fundraising component you had to do as part of your competition leading up to the stage portion of the competition.
Okay.
And then on the stage, you have to present that you look good in leather. Mm-hmm. There's also this fantasy video that I had to do, which was sort of like, what is your leather fantasy? What would you like hope to happen if you won, whatever?
Okay. Was it an interview or like, are we talking about like a scene? Like, is it on OnlyFans and how do I get there?
My video was a series of scenes, but very PG, not RX.
Okay.
Because it did have to play on a stage in a bar where you really couldn't show sex scenes back then. Mm-hmm. Ripcord wasn't willing to do that back then. But, you know, the answer that you have to answer questions about the leather community, your place in the leather community, and sort of what you think of the leather community. And then after I won, I held a number of fundraisers, again, for various parts of the community, you know, anchored in the leather community, because that's, in a sense, what you do with the title, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, different people do different things with different titles, but that was what was important to me. That was why I wanted the title, was because it would give me some name recognition to do those fundraising events.
Do you remember what your answer was to what do you think of the leather community?
They don't ask that. They ask probably less direct questions.
Oh, okay.
Sadly, okay, this is funny but sad. To me, sad. A common question in a leather contest is, if you were a golden girl, what golden girl would you be? If you were a Disney princess, what Disney princess you would be? Stuff like that. I don't believe I got one of those questions. But that's a common sort of question. So it's, yeah. Part of it is, can you think on your feet? And can you think on your feet in a way that references the leather community and isn't just sort of stupid?
Yeah. I can't think on my feet ever. And I have to do a podcast about it.
Yeah, you want everybody to think you're a Blanche, but you're a Rose. Just
it's the meanest thing you've ever said to me. And then what about Mr. Lone Star 21?
So Mr. Lone Star is it's a statewide title based at a campsite in Central Texas called Buzzard Peak. It's run by the Texas Council of Clubs. The Texas Council of Clubs is a group of leather and bear clubs around the state. They come together and they run this campground. And every year they have the Mr. Lone Star title. And again, it's just somebody in leather goes up on the stage and you talk about being in leather, show off your leather, try to look good. A lot of it is about looking good and sounding half intelligent.
Speaking of looking good, for the people that are listening later, can you describe what you're wearing?
Okay, I'm wearing leather pants, a harness, and my club vest and an armband and boots.
And you pointed to your armband when you talked about what does your armband mean?
Because my armband is on my left arm, that indicates that I'm a dominant. If my armband was on my right arm, that would indicate that I was a submissive.
Gotcha.
That's like just like the hanky code.
Just like the hanky code.
Which apparently the hanky code, the leather community gets a bunch of credit for the way it started out.
It pretty much came from the leather bars.
Yeah, which is cool.
I have a few hankies. I'm not wearing any today.
Okay. Also, your vest has many pieces of flair. That's what I would call it anyway. But pins.
A lot of flair.
You've got a bunch of pins. Can you talk about the pins? What's going on?
So there's two types of pins. Yeah. On my vest. One is called a run pin, and this is a pin that you get when you attend a leather event, a weekend long party, basically, that one of the leather groups or organizations puts on. The term run sort of comes from back when there were motorcycle rallies, and it would be the motorcycles would go on a run, whatever, and now They're basically based in bars or whatever, but we still call them runs. And so some of my pens are event runs, run pens. And then the other pens are what are called friendship pens. And these are pens that members of clubs or just individuals maybe give out to other people in the leather community as a sign of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And so Misfits have pens, which I've given out quite a few in my day. But in Texas, the friendship pen has a very special place because we have this ritual called a Texas pinning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Some fans.
Some people know about it already. So the tradition of the Texas pinning is when you want to express your friendship to someone, you ask them if you
all
may,
over their face. No,
you ask them if you can give them a pin, and they agree, and then you immediately drop to your knees, whip their dick out, and begin sucking their dick, and try to guess how hard their dick is going to be, how big their dick is going to be when it gets hard, and then you're supposed to put the pin in the pant, sort of crotch area, where you think the head of the dick is going to show up once you get them hard, which is a little bit cruel because the pins have a sharp back to them that's supposed to go right in the head of the dick.
Yeah.
So that way you get a little SM snuck in there in that friendship.
Right.
And so I wanted to let you guys know I did bring pens for you. Friendship pins for you, and we can talk about the formal handing you off the pins to you after the show.
We're gonna need more shots, everybody. Okay, so one thing I wanted to talk about is the protocol, because I know that there's a lot of feelings in the leather community about who can wear what and when under what circumstances, and some are more prescriptive than others. You mentioned last night that I can't wear that vest,
right?
Can you talk more about that? Like,
so there are protocols in the leather community that not everyone follows. They're not like universal. There's a joke in the leather community about what's called the Council of Elders, which is, the joke is that this was a set of leathermen back in the 60s or whatever that set the standard for the whole community. And you can't find a single person who actually was a member of the Council of Elders. It's a completely made up event.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
But some of the standard protocols that have just sort of been around for history is... So one thing is the mirror cap. That's probably the most important protocol that people get uptight about.
And you keep saying that, and I keep thinking meerkat, like the little like.
So a meerkat, M-U-I-R, I believe it's spelled, is the standard sort of policeman style leather hat that you will see leathermen wear with the brim and sort of the. I'm not even sure how to describe one, but look up pictures of leathermen, you'll see a meerkat, and the tradition. Again, it's not taken as seriously, maybe, but you were not supposed to wear a mirror cap unless it was given to you. Mm-hmm. It was sometimes called a master's cap, and master is kind of a moniker that is given to you. It's not one that you typically claim yourself, where sir is one you can more or less claim yourself. Daddy, you can claim yourself. Master is usually more of an honorific.
Okay.
And so often one is given a mirror cap as ceremony or something that you're a master. Many of us have bought our own because they just look hot. I bought my own because I thought it looked hot. No one has given me credit of master, and that's I don't really give a fuck.
Okay.
I think it looks hot. But you mentioned the vest. So I'm wearing a club vest, which is my vest for the Misfits, because I'm still a lifetime member. And being a member of a club has a certain honor to it. And to sort of loan your vest out willy-nilly doesn't really speak to the brotherhood that it means to be a member of the club and sort of what we work on together, what we go on together, go through together as a club, because it's a bonding experience. And if you just hand out your club vest and say, hey, you'll go ahead and wear this, you're sort of disrespecting the brotherhood and the effort that goes into being a member of a club.
So we talked earlier in the show about like the parallels that I keep seeing between what y'all do and my fraternity experience. And I keep thinking about block letter sweatshirts, which a lot of fraternities, you can't wear block letter sweatshirts until you're initiated. In some chapters, it has to be given to you by your big bro. Other chapters don't care. Go to the store and buy one, like whatever. It's really interesting how it's like chapter to chapter or school to school. I imagine it's the same in this community, maybe.
So when you want to join a leather club, you go through a pledge period.
Yeah.
Just like a fraternity.
Yeah.
And various clubs have different pledge periods of length and what is involved in that.
When do you do the elephant walk?
That probably means something different in the leather community.
Think so?
I don't know.
You line all the pledges in a row,
yeah.
And then you put your thumb up the ass of the one in front of you, and you grab the dick of the one behind you, and that's the elephant walk. You walk.
What? Hold on. Sorry. Well... Mike,
yes.
I'm interviewing you now.
Okay, good.
My question is what?
Yeah. Yeah. The elephant walk.
You'd have to do that?
We did not do that at my chapter. That is not something that my national fraternity that I'm an officer of condones or supports or does. And the elephant walk, at least in the 90s in American fraternity culture, was a thing. There were several like threats of like, this is something that we're going to make you do, pledges. And... that was one, and I know it's not just anecdotal. Like, there are places where that happened and or happens. Soggy Biscuits one.
What's that? Now I got to know what that is.
You circle jerk, and the last one to come on the cracker has to eat it.
I joke about frat stuff, but it's gayer than I even thought.
Yeah, yeah. Back to the leather thing.
Sorry.
Some of the clubs actually will have sex play as part of the pledge process.
Yeah.
In my experience with the Misfits, we have not.
Yeah.
We have been rumored to have it as part of our pledge system, but it's never been part of the pledge system that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
It's just mostly showing that you're willing to be yourself. That's an important part of being a Misfit, I think. Mm. Willing to do work in the community is an important part of being a Misfit. And so you sort of have to show those things, that you have a commitment, and that you're able to be a member of the Brotherhood before you get your patch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which typically goes in the back of the vest.
What kind of a vest is Kyle wearing? What is this?
That would just be a bar vest.
Okay.
And so,
because you wear it to the bar?
You wear it to the bar.
Okay.
Or, I mean, you can wear it during sex, too, if that turns you on. You don't have to just wait to the bar to wear it. I mean, I've had sex in vests because it's hot.
And you were mentioning it's supposed to be like a certain length.
Right. So, typically a bar vest, so where the opening of the vest comes down is typically right around the nipples, and it goes down your torso with the bottoms of that pointing sort of right around your crotch, right sort of into your dick. But really, more or less at the waist would be the proper fit of a bar vest.
This is also a bar vest?
That is a bar. Yes, that is also a bar
vest. By the way, everybody, there's a shitload of leather underneath the table here. So.
Bar vest is probably people's most frequent first leather purchase.
Oh. Okay.
Because it's very versatile, and they're one of the less expensive, at least of the major pieces.
What have I done? I'm going to try to put it on.
All right.
Okay, shut up.
For those at home, Mike is now removing his shirt.
Oh, my God. I'm trapped. In a glass box of emotion. Okay.
Removing his shirt, and now he's putting on a bar vest.
A bar vest. Okay, great. By the time we're done, I'm going to be wearing, like, all kinds of stuff. Okay, so now we're going to talk about... this is the show and tell portion, everybody. Tell me about chaps. What are they? Why do we wear them?
Again, we wear chaps because they're hot.
Yeah.
They're actually very convenient to have sex in because, you know, your crotch and your butt are exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's also nice to wear them, you know, when you're out camping and it's cold and you can have sex in them, in the woods. So, which, you know, maybe I've done.
Okay.
Perhaps.
It sounds like a maybe. Yeah, okay. So
they come from the motorcycle culture.
Yeah.
Again, in motorcycle culture, you wear your chaps because it sort of protects you from the heat of the motor that is basically in your crotch.
Yeah.
But also leather is great for if you have an accident, The leather's going to protect you from road rash more than probably any other material that we wear.
Okay.
And so being that the leather, the gay male leather community grows out of the motorcycle community, it's just sort of a natural adaptation, I guess. One of the things we talked about last night is in for sex chaps, the zipper is on the inseam, where on motorcycle chaps, the zipper or whatever is on the outside of the pants, because you wouldn't want a zipper on the on your inside inseam, because then you're scratching up your motorcycle, yeah. And you don't want to do that. But we like to pay attention to the crotch, and yes. So and the inseam, so that's where our zippers are.
Yeah. I thought that was super interesting and like practical.
Very practical.
Okay, so jackets. Tell me about jackets. There's like a fuck ton of different kinds of jackets. There's this one. I'm going to put it on.
Right, and so that's pretty much your standard motorcycle jacket. the funny thing is, if you wear this jacket, you're almost certain to have somebody ask you, do you wear a motorcycle? No, I fuck men. It's different. Oh.
Yeah, let me introduce you to my boyfriend. His name is Motorcycle.
again, if you go back to, like you said, the Wild Ones, it comes from then, and we just basically haven't changed that style much. Some of them will get more decorative, like that one that you have there has lace panels on the outsides below the sleeves.
Yeah.
That would be one decorative element. Does that one have epaulettes on it? Yes, okay, so the epaulette, the piece that's on the shoulder, the snap piece.
Up here?
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that, of course, comes from uniforms, mm-hmm. But sort of there's a nice, fun leather accessory that you can get that slips on top of that epaulette, and you can get it in different colors, mm-hmm. which acts as a sort of a surrogate for the hanky code. So I have one that has yellow and red on it, mm-hmm. so that people can see what I'm into when they just look at my jacket. Sometimes people will wear cock rings, and again, you wear it on the left side.
Oh.
If you're showing I want to fuck, you wear it on the right side. If you're showing I want to get fucked.
Okay, and yellow and red, same as hanky code, piss and fisting, right?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, protocol is it's okay for me to put this on?
Jackets are pretty much no one really cares much about them, because so many people outside leather community wear those leather jackets now that I don't know that we have the same ownership of them that we do. Say chaps or harnesses or other pieces.
Okay. All right. Well, turn it on.
All right.
You are more leather than not at this point.
Yeah. I've got my booty shorts on and a jock strap and socks and shoes. Here we are. Okay. So, yes, Kyle?
Are we ready for the visual part?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the part of the show where we whip Kyle. Tell us about this. What is this?
Okay, so flog and whipping are different.
Yeah.
Flogging is the shorter implement with multiple tails on it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, I don't know, maybe 25 even tails. It's for shorter range. A whip is actually one, maybe as many as three tails, and it's, I don't know, 5 feet longer.
Yeah, this
five
is
feet or so.
This is not giving me Indiana Jones vibes at all.
No, right. No. So a flogger is going to be typically more thud-like, and a whip is going to be more sting-like,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the sensation.
Do you want to be thudded or stinged, Kyle?
We'll find out,
okay,
because
great.
I'm about to do it.
Great. Okay.
Should I?
Okay. So
take off the vest, though.
Oh, okay. So they're going to go down in front of the stage and demonstrate, and Derek is going to do his best to mic it so that we get it for the podcast. This might not make the show on Thursday, depends on how the audio turns out. And then while they're doing that, I'm going to put these chaps on, and that might take me a little while.
All right. What do you need me to do? Put me where you want me.
Okay, we'll just basically stand there. We're going to get you out a little bit further from the table.
Okay, I'm not nervous at all. This feels fine.
So this is a very soft leather. I'm not even sure I can hurt you with this.
Oh, that's ideal. Okay.
But you will get at least the sensation.
Okay, I'm ready.
So, in flogging, we're trying to hit right along the spine, not hit the spine, but the areas, the muscular areas right along the spine is the ideal place for us to hit.
Muscular areas, Kyle.
Hey. Hey now.
Okay, so not, this is not my flog, so we're gonna, I'm going to do my best.
Okay. Ooh, okay, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Keep going.
Okay, put the mic over your shoulder so we can hear it hit you. Yeah.
Normally this would be done shirtless, of course, and you'd get a different sensation.
No. Absolutely not. There's no fucking way. Okay. Yeah, you can go harder. I think I'm into this. All yeah. right. Huh? New fetish unlocked. Ooh. Okay, on that one. That was a good that's a good one to end it on. Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Mike, are you doing some show and tell too?
All right. So,
how you feeling in those chaps? Oh, you can't talk because you don't have a mic in front of you.
I feel great.
You feel good? Okay.
I feel great. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, a sausage maybe? Like,
So in our episode on BDSM, which was super early on
yeah,
in the podcast.
Season one.
You almost did but didn't get shocked.
Right. Right. So we did a BDSM episode with Max Cameron, who's a local Seattle guy that does this stuff. And he brought a little like tasery shocky device and demonstrated it. He also whipped Kyle in my living room.
Yes.
Yeah. It was fine.
it was normal.
And I chickened out, but I'm going to try to not chicken out today.
Are you going to?
I didn't realize that shocking was even part of like the leather community at all. So like, but yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay, great.
Okay.
No. Okay.
It's fine. We're worried about it arcing and shocking everyone. So, but yeah, it's making a buzzy sound, and it looks like those like globes that we had as kids where you would like make the purpley lightning happen inside of the globe, and yeah, a violet wand. Great. Okay. It also looks like something from D&D, to be honest. But
Mike's nipple just got shocked. Yeah. Oh.
God. Okay. That's like when you run across the carpet and touch a doorknob, except on your nipple. Oh, yeah. Oh, I feel that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Okay.
So there's an experience.
It's so what's surprising to me, and maybe it shouldn't have been, is that it's like a point where it comes into your skin. This is not like a generalized shocking, like when you accidentally touch a barbed wire fence that was electrified as a kid. I grew up on a farm. It's like a very specific, like, this is the point.
Okay, so we have various electrical toys that we can use. The violet wand does use pretty much a specific pinpoint. There's a fly swatter thing that does pretty much the same thing as well. There are different attachments to this so that we can give different experiences. There is also TENS unit play, which gives a sort of more broad current experience. A fun little TENS story for you. I have a TENS unit, and my at the time boyfriend and I were playing with it, and you put one end up the top's butt, and so it is resting on his prostate, and you put the other end wrapped around the bottom's dick, and you fuck, And so it goes through the top's prostate, out his dick, into the bottom's prostate, and into the bottom's dick. And that's actually a really fun experience.
Wow.
I feel like after the show, you're going to have to like draw a diagram of some kind. I need stick figures to figure this out. Wow. Okay. Well, I lived. I did it. I got shocked. would you? Thank you so much for being here and for doing this stuff and demonstrating and bringing all your friends. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Big hand for Woodja, everybody. After the show, we're going to hang around for a bit. If people have questions, is it okay to come and ask you stuff?
Sure.
Okay. Great. Excellent. Thank you. Another round of applause for Woodja, everybody.
Mike, in case what just happened doesn't make the podcast, you just got shocked by a little electrical thing.
I just got shocked. I forgot to say, although I thought it at the time, because it's a little tiny point of pain, it kind of felt like getting a tattoo. Tiny bit like getting a tattoo. It's got the same sort of electrical feeling to it and hurts, but not in a like intolerable way or a bad way. It wasn't even like uncomfortable. It was just like it's such a foreign sensation that you're not used to. But yeah, it was really, I don't know, I feel redeemed. This is my redemption arc.
You've said before that your nipples are sensitive. Did you like it?
No, I would not.
That's no. Well, I'm glad you tried it, so now you know.
Yeah, now I know.
Yeah.
I'm wearing so much leather.
You're wearing so much leather. I did, while you were doing that, put on some chaps.
Yeah. Check out Kyle's chaps, everybody. So did we do it?
We did a lot of leather stuff.
We talked about leather. Once again, everybody, please come to Glue Weekend. That's next weekend. There's a QR code on this board up here. And use the discount code GAYISH at glueweekend.com if you want 20% off of your tickets because you were here today. It is live show tradition that we take a break. Well, every show we take a break, but on live shows we take a break and do shots. And in this case, maybe two shots because there's two shots on the table.
But we're not actually taking breaks, so don't go anywhere.
Oh, okay, right. What are you doing?
What?
What?
What am I doing when?
Right now.
No. We're not going anywhere.
Oh,
like, don't
that's
leave.
Right. That's
we're
right.
We're not
that's
actually.
Right.
Wait,
you're right. You're right. You're super right. In New York, we didn't explain this. We said let's take a break, and everybody stood up and left. So,
don't go anywhere. We're not actually taking a break.
We're not actually taking a break. It's just
taking
just,
a shot.
Just very quick to take a shot. But should we do that? If you want to take a shot with us, take a shot with us, or drink your beer. It's like a social hour. Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
Part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
Oh my God, Kyle, we made it.
Cheers.
Yeah, here you go.
Oh. It's Fireball, which always tastes like regret. Are you ready?
Oh my God, I'm so out of sorts, like flogging to shot to like, yeah, just hold on, let me get myself together.
Yeah, I'm like schwitzing.
Okay.
My thighs are just like on fire.
Yeah. These thighs are on fire.
Yep. But are you ready?
Yeah.
Are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We are going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest. But first, as Kyle mentioned at the top of the show, but I'll say it one more time, our Patreon happy hour, which happens once a quarter, is on Wednesday, November the 1st at 6 p.m. Pacific time. You can find a link to the Zoom call on the Patreon app. Everyone at every level of Patreon support is welcome to join us.
Yeah.
Our website is gayishpodcast.com.
We're on all the socials at gayishpodcast.
Our hotline, you can send us text messages or leave us voicemails, especially if that's your gayest and straightest. We love to play those. It's 5855-GAYISH. That's 585-542-9474. Standard rate supply.
Our email is gayishpodcast@gmail.com.
And our physical mailing address is Post Office Box 19882, Seattle, Washington, 98109. By the way, if you sent Derek something for his birthday because I told you to, I haven't been able to go to the post office because the Jeep is fucked up. So, like, if you got him a puppy, it's dead. But I'll make it over there sometime and pick those things up.
Gayest and straightest?
Let's do our gayest and straightest.
Okay, I'll go.
Great, do it.
My gayest was I went online shopping for my new job.
Okay.
I bought a bunch of new clothes to make it look like I'm an adult.
Yeah, yeah. You were like, I went shopping for work clothes, and I was like, no, you did not.
Yeah, I'm going to pretend like I'm a human that interacts in the world sometimes. It's going to be a rough one for me. My straightest is last Sunday, I watched the Cowboys 49ers game.
Who are you and what have you done with Kyle?
I went to a bar. I had a drink and some food and watched the football game.
Wow.
I know. Straightest thing I've done my whole life.
Did you go with someone? Was it like on a did you lose a bet?
No. No, I chose all of this myself.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. One of the teams won.
Yeah.
I remember that. And like by a bunch. I forget who. What about you, Mike?
What about me? So the gayest thing about me this week, I think, is in the Lyft ride from IAH to here to do the walkthrough last night. I could just my spidey sense, it was tingling. I was like, oh, Tony's Corner Pocket and all those go-go boys are right here. And then I turned around and there it was. It was like we were on the block. And I was like, Kyle, that's the bar. And he was like, then why is the Uber driver, why is he still driving? I was like, no, not Kiki. It's the bar.
You were so excited.
I was very excited. And then I went last night and it was fun. And the straightest thing about me this week is boyfriend and I went to Palm Springs last weekend. And we were sitting at the bar having a meal, drinking cocktails. And he goes, he gay gasped. I was like, what? And he goes, that's Jasmine Masters right there. I was like, I don't understand you. Did you have a stroke? And he said, that's Jasmine Masters right there, who's apparently a drag queen that matters, that's important. I had no idea who that was, why I should care, but he was pretty fucking excited.
Any one of the RuPaul's Drag Race girls is probably our straightest because we just don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And then I had to be like, do not make eye contact. He like was going to go talk to her. I'm like, no, you eat your food. yeah, okay. It is audience participation time. Gayest and straightest. Who would like to share their gayest and straightest? You're walking already. Great. Come on. And there's someone back here.
Stairs up there. Say your name if you would like to say your pronouns. Go ahead and do that. And then
your city if you're not from here especially.
Yeah. And then your gay stairs.
I'm Ulderico. My pronouns are he, him, él. My gayest would be flying down from Oklahoma City to here for this.
Oh.
Yay. And my straightest, bringing in my checked-in bag, a 12-pack of specialty college-branded beer for my best friend. So.
That's amazing.
Like Oklahoma College?
OU.
OU? Oh. You had so many friends until 3 seconds ago.
I went to UT. I don't know about that.
Yeah, hey.
Hi, Anthony. He, him. I have two gayest, actually, one of which happened today.
Okay.
That was checking in over there, and Kyle walked behind me to introduce himself to someone, and just the sound of his voice, like, gave me chills down my spine.
Aww.
So that was the first gayest. Or today's gayest. The general gayest was the fact that my maintenance light on my car has been on for a while, and I think I need to get my oil changed, and so I'm just not doing that.
Yeah.
I might do it after this. We'll see.
I think gays look at the check engine light and they think, oh, you're just being dramatic.
Oh. The same thing. That E for gas, that doesn't mean anything. I'm going to go from here to the Woodlands. It's fine. And then my straightest is I decided yesterday that I was going to finally wash clothes and do like laundry because I ran out of socks.
Oh.
So I really needed to get clean socks.
Yeah.
So.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks, Anthony.
Thank you.
I mean, that jacket is your gayest, right?
So do you have to wonder what my guest is?
Oh my God, the shoes. Let's see the shoes.
Wore this to Mardi Gras this year.
Oh
so.
My God, those yeah. are gold.
And I have matching pants as well.
Yeah. They look amazing.
So I'm Scott Zaddy Larson.
Great. Great.
And I'm part of that 50 Club that you guys have talked about a few times lately.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you for that. It really meant a lot to me.
Oh,
it's
sure.
really great.
Yeah.
So my gayishes, that's of course. Straightest as I went out to the patio this morning to have coffee, and my patio door was making a squeak noise, right? Yeah. So I found the WD-40 and sprayed it really good. And then I went out there, and I'm sitting on the table, and I thought, we need to use the screen door because it's cool enough now. It was off the track,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to get down on my hands and knees and get a screwdriver and all that. So I thought that was pretty butch.
Absolutely.
That's super butch.
That's my straightest.
Yeah.
Thank you. Really like you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Scott.
Do you want a mug?
I mean, you can say no. That's fine.
Yeah, you don't need it.
By the way, any use of lubrication for not sex is for sure a valid straightest any week.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, girl.
What's up?
How's it going?
I'm great.
Everybody, this is Brandon. Brandon runs our Discord server.
Hello. So, yeah, I'm Brandon. Gayest has to be these concerts I went to lately. Beyonce.
Yeah.
And Janelle Monáe.
Oh. Yeah.
Very gay. Very, very gay. And my straightest, I was sick as a dog on Friday, and I was like, I'm not missing this show. I'm going to Houston, so I downed every med, all the cough syrup, whatever I could take, and I'm here.
Yay! Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. We're out of mugs, so you're just going to have to settle for, I don't know, hugs?
Just, yeah.
Hugs, not mugs? Yeah, there's stickers? Yeah, there's a fuck ton of stickers.
Hello, my name's Eric. So my gayest was online. I ordered a couple of curtains, and I was so super enthusiastic that they came in. I must have measured wrong, because when I took them out, I was like, they don't fit. And I was like, aw, a piece of me died that day. That's my gayest. My straightest is I was actually able to walk into an AutoZone, and I didn't ask for help.
Wow. That's impressive.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
That's what I say before I have sex.
Hey, my name's Scott from West Creek, Colorado.
Hi,
I'm
Scott.
Also Explosive Lasagna.
On
Patreon. My straightest this week is using heavy equipment to dig an 8-foot trench to replace 20 feet of water line.
Wow.
I knew most of those words, but not in that order.
My gayest is making my neighbors roll their eyes as I'm talking about using my butt set to test the butt splice on the phone line that we cut in the process. Taking a selfie with the Extend-A-Hoe sticker on the backhoe and telling them that I'm billing them for their manicure that they ruined.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Also, the pineapple on the shirt is epic. I'm here for that.
Michael drove in from Lafayette, Louisiana yesterday.
Oh.
My gayest is... Are these boots?
Oh my God.
Ooh.
Not wearing them to this, but wearing them to the Taylor Swift concert movie after this.
Yes.
And my straightest is definitely my diet this last week. I've eaten everything from pepperoni Lunchables to ramen, Kraft mac and cheese, and manwich.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Well, thanks. Thank you all for being here. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Thanks for being here.
A big thank you to Jordan for working the door. You're a rock star. Derek's sister. Yep. Thank you to Chris and the awesome staff here at Kiki. Be sure to stick around and tip generously. We will be hanging out until they tell us to go away. So feel free to come up, hang out, say hi,
take pictures, ask questions, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm... Happy birthday, Derek.
Happy birthday, Derek.
Okay.
And I want to thank our Super Gap Bridgers. Thank you to Kit Oliver, Andrew Bugby, William Bryan, Christopher M., John Crowley, Stephen Porcio, Stilsel, Harry Shaw, Josh Copeland, Jonathan Montanias, Wadu, Forrest Nail, Patrick Martin, James Barrow, Steve Douglas, Explosive Lasagna, Michael Cubbington, Just JV, Kevin Henderson, Thomas B., Timothy Sora, Dusty Sands, A.E. Coleman, Chris Cachetorians, and Jerome York. Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your money. that is it. This has been Gayish from the Chris Cachetorian Studios and Kiki in the Montrose neighborhood of Houston, Texas. I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Getz. Until next week, be butch, be fabulous, be you.
See you next week.
See ya.